You're listening to U Talk, part of the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Providing unbiased opinions on all things Utah football and basketball.
Welcome to this edition of the U Talk podcast. As always, I'm Grant Bagby.
And I am Joe Silverswag. It is a pleasure to be here on this drizzly August day. Do you know what I like best about that sentence is the word August? Because you know what else is in August? College freaking
soccer?
No, that okay. Wow. Oh, that ruined the whole segment.
You didn't like that entry?
I was expecting something there. Okay, so it's college football, guys. It's college football month. It is college football season. The camps are in swing. Media day has already come and gone. Life is beautiful. The sky is bluer. The grass is greener. The men or women are smiling more brightly when you pass them in the street. It is football season. So we're going to talk about football today.
That is a rosy picture you painted that I just haven't seen yet. But hey, well, that's fine.
Welcome. Welcome to football season, Grant. Join me. Join me here in this bright future that is college football.
We're close. We've got about three more episodes. And then there'll be a football game that we'll talk about. Like, it's pretty exciting. Nonetheless, before we get started, quick trip to what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking our quick hitters, review the schedule. We're going to be going into the hype train. We're going to all get aboard for a few minutes. And then we're going to be talking position previews for our defense, excuse me. So we're going to talk each position group. And we're going to try to do it a little differently than everyone else, and we'll see what new nuggets Joe and I have for you. To start off, though, let's get to our schedule. So guess what? It hasn't changed. Soccer against Clemson, soccer against Alabama.
When is that Clemson soccer game?
August 22nd.
Okay, so just before the...
Yeah, so 22nd, 25th are your soccer games. And then the Brigham Young football game in Provo, 8:15 p.m. Mountain Standard Time.
Filled with Utah Valley fans because they can't sell out their student section, so they're adding UVU students to the acceptable list. I'm sure they explained it differently, but it cracked me up when I read it.
Either way, so that it's getting closer. As we said, really excited for this football season, and there's more reason to be excited, and we're about to get to that. But first, let me just say there was a rumor flying around on Twitter, Joe, about Zach Moss and apparently a potential hand injury.
Yeah, and we are here and to kill it. Kill yes. The rumor. It is dead.
Coach McDonald crushed that thing.
Yep.
100% healthy.
Zach Moss was out there in a uniform and a weighted vest. He was practicing, obviously, you know.
So yeah. Like,
he's fine.
Don't worry, trolls out there. He's still going to run over whatever team you represent because Zach Moss will run over everyone on the schedule.
That forearm is coming for you.
Exactly. All right. So, look, the Utes have been talked about a lot this preseason, and it keeps on coming. So let's get on the hype train.
All right. So I have got, what did I see the other day? College Football Focus predicted how the polls were going to look heading into the college football playoffs. So this isn't a preseason poll, right? This is a prediction of how the season is going to go. He had Utah, where is that? Let me see. One, two, three, four, fourth. Utah's fourth. So that's the second national guy. This guy's a Big Ten guy from his roots. He was Michigan State, I think, who has Utah in the college football playoff. So it's real, people. It is real. It is not just me, Homer Ute fan, stats geek, saying, I think they've got like a 30, 40% chance of being a playoff-worthy record. This is everybody looking at that schedule and saying there's no reason why the Utes aren't going to go 11-1 or 12-0 this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. The hype keeps building. ESPN's power rankings came out. They're 13th, and there were multiple picks by their ESPN experts saying that they are a sleeper for the playoffs as well.
I saw an ESPN special where they were just going down. This was the top 25 came out, and they – we're all talking about the most disrespected team And it was Utah. Three out of the four said it was Utah. And Utah's ranked 15th in this particular poll. So to be disrespected by being ranked in the top 15 teams in the country, it's pretty. So I'm grinning like a dang a fool over here.
The ice cream truck just pulled down, and Joseph is
yes, that screaming. Is exactly what I feel like. The ice cream truck is rolling into
the high cycles.
Yeah. So it's just awesome. It's an awesome time, and I'm having a blast. And as I alluded to on my little solo episode, the number of years that we are going to get to be legitimately this excited for the upcoming season is pretty slim. Maybe 10-15% of the years where we're going to be like, playoffs? Maybe playoffs. So just do it. Just enjoy it. Just like live in it. And maybe four games in, we'll be like, wow, we were wrong. But be sad in October or November or December. Have fun with it now. Enjoy it now.
Yeah, there's no need to be the negative Nancy now. Enjoy the hype.
Or even the realist Ralph. Like, go no nuts. Be the, optimist Ollie.
We're supposed to be fans, which are fanatics. We're fans.
That's
the idea. Be fanatic about it. Enjoy. All right, so let's talk some football. Now that we've got the hype, the projections and everything, let's actually talk some football. So we're going to go through the defensive position groups, and we're going to talk about each of them, give out our key points, but we're going to be looking at three big questions, which is who's the leader, who's the breakout surprise player, and then who's the biggest question mark you have? So here's your options, Joe. Which position group do you want to start with on defense?
Oh, man. Let's kind of go back to front. So let's start with safeties and move forward. And that's a little unorthodox, but okay. I want to try and
that's fine.
Challenge your mind here.
Oh, boy. All right. So what do you got then?
Who's the leader at safety?
How is it not Julian Blackman? Is my question for you.
Well, what's interesting, Julian Blackman is what pops into my head. But the thing about Julian Blackman is it's a new position for him. So I wonder if he's comfortable enough in the position to be taking on the kind of leadership role. I think he's going to be excellent. I think he's better suited to play safety than he was to play cornerback. And he was a dang good cornerback. So, I'll go ahead and I'll say Julian Blackman for the safety leader. What about you're saying Julian Blackman?
Yeah.
So who do you have as your kind of breakout guy to watch? Who you're most excited about?
Well, I'm hoping that it's going to be Terrell Burgess. I mean, I don't know that he's seen the. Look, he was behind. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking out on names right now. This is horrible.
Blair, I think.
Blair, yep, and Corey and Ballard last year. And, it was just hard to break into that. And so now he's into his senior season, and this is his time to shine, really, and to break out and hopefully solidify the rest of that safety spot. One thing I will point out in regards to just safeties in general this year with the Julian Blackman change, look, everyone was used to the hard hitting of last year from our safety position, right?
I mean, Marquise Blair.
Blair was flying in there, crushing people.
Drop people all the way into the NFL. Despite not being like your prototypical NFL anything, people just watched him on film and went, man, that guy can take people out, and that's the kind of skill that you can't train.
Right.
People are just too excited about.
Fans are used to seeing that. This year, with like a Julian Blackman who's a coverage guy, kind of a change, I don't think we're going to be seeing the hard hitting from the safety spot this year. There'll be hits, but there's not going to be the straight out crush them kind of stuff.
I think that you're looking for a different. I mean, the strength of the secondary is cornerbacks, as we'll get to. I mean,
right.
That's part of the reason why Julian Blackman moved, because there's too many good
cornerbacks,
like NFL grade cornerbacks. So you got to keep him on the field because he's so talented. So I think the safety role is going to be one of coverage. I mean, safety in sort of the traditional sense of they're going to be the backstop to make sure that things don't get out of hand. And we'll rely on quarterbacks and to make plays in the secondary. And that's how we're going to kind of, you know, cue it up. And I think that's a pretty fair assessment. And that's just not the kind of player Blackman is. Although he's gotten big, he's up over 200 now. And so if he does decide to hit somebody, they're going to notice, that's for sure.
Okay. So who do you got there?
I think I'm inclined to agree with you, but maybe Nigel King. I'm going to talk about Nigel King a little bit. He's one of these guys who you see on the field a lot and who kind of draws your eye on the field. I feel like I always go, oh, who is that? Who did that great play? Who was in the exact right place? And even though he's not on the field so much or hasn't been so much, he did crack the free safety too deep, and I'm excited to see what he can do. So I'm going to kind of call him out as that guy to watch. And then in terms of like question marks, or this is somebody who I'm really interested in because I think if he performs at the level that I hope he does, it creates this just incredible amount of depth and control. And he's that new junior college transfer, or no, not junior college. He's a graduate transfer. What the heck is his name? Where'd he go? What about you? What's your guy that you're watching? I'll pull up this guy's name while you're talking.
Lecrae Pleasant Johnson is probably the freshman I'm looking at. I mean, he's a highly touted recruit coming out of Arizona. I think he'll pick it up. I mean, he should be – I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see what he does.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with safety. There isn't really a question mark. I feel really good about the depth. I feel really good about the talent. But a freshman I'm watching is Aaron Lowe. He was a three-star. He projects the safeties, honestly, probably too small. He's still in a, you know, 170, 180 range, and they like to play him bigger by the time they get up to safety. But he is a guy that I'm watching because I really liked what I saw in his film and felt that he was a little bit underrated. Okay, now for the easiest conversation of the day in my mind, which is who is the leader at cornerback?
Cornerback?
Yes.
Well, yeah, of course, Jaylon Johnson.
It's Jaylon Johnson.
Hello.
Would you say Jaylon's leading the defense?
He might. No.
Okay, we'll get to it. But that's an interesting question because Utah's front seven is always the ones who are, whether it's a linebacker or a defensive end, that's always the guy you think about as that's the linchpin of the defense. And
I think
this
of
year,
three leaders
Jaylon. Yeah, let's talk about it. What's your three leaders?
It's Jaylon, right? It's Bradley and I.
Yeah.
And it's Lecky.
Yeah.
Right?
How great is it to have three guys that good on the same defense?
They're all high draft pick guys.
They could be first round guys.
They're all going to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, those are your leaders.
That's amazing.
And they're the senior leadership, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the leadership, and we've said it before, that we're depending on. If we're going to deliver on this type of season that everyone's getting up on the hype train for, those three guys on the defense are going to be critical for leadership.
They're going to provide the level of intensity and consistency that you need to win every single game.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So,
right. So Jaylon's the guy, right?
Yep.
That's an easy question.
Totally.
What about who you're watching? Who you expect to maybe kind of break out and be the next big thing?
Well, I'm intrigued here, and I don't know that this is a good pick as far as next big thing. I'm just interested to see who's on the other side of him, right? So it's my pick would be Tariq Lewis.
All right.
Right. So, but it's like, this whoever's over there, our Tariq Lewis this year, is going to get targeted so many more times because Jaylon's going to have his guy in prison.
A tremendous amount of pressure. Yeah,
yeah.
Jaylon, no one's going to even throw. They will scheme to not throw to Jaylon Johnson.
Yep.
And you will see formations that will shift based on which side of the field he's on.
Right.
And you will see entire offensive strategies built around how do we still have a passing game without throwing near that guy? Because he is such an unholy terror.
Right.
Unless you have top-tier talent at both quarterback and wide receiver, it's just not worth the risk.
The other thing I really want to see out of the DBs, and I'm throwing this player in there, is I want to see a Javelin Guidry pick. Because the moment he catches the ball, I want to see the lightning speed.
He's so fast. He had one. I did have just the one pick last year. Yes. I think of the Washington game, and it was like in a scrum.
Yeah, it wasn't one where he just went down
immediately. And you, yeah. I mean, he's not the fastest player in college football. He's awful darn close, and I was almost disappointed in the Stanford game last year when Jalon Johnson gets that pick at the 1 yard line. And he's faster than anybody on Washington's offense, or no, Samford's offense, excuse me. So, he zipped down there just fine. But Javelin Guidry is a lightning bolt, and it would be really fun to see him sort of off to the races.
And where he only got one pick, I mean, look, I'd say that's a compliment to him. I mean, people are just not targeting
what
Javelin is. Nobody's, I mean, it's just
nobody's
targeting. That's the thing about the secondary. You got Javelin, you got Jalon Johnson, and then Tariq Lewis is probably the next guy. And that's the question, right? Because he's going to get targeted the most. So I'm really excited to see what he does with that attention, because he's going to get targeted. He's going to have an opportunity to prove himself and improve his possibilities for playing football after college football.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to have to show it on film, because he's not going to show up in the combine because he's undersized. But cornerback, that's not a deal breaker. It's just a question of having the other skill sets you need. My guy is a little different. I'm going to go with Josh Nurse.
Okay.
I really like him as kind of that prototypical breakout corner for the Utes, because he's got the right frame for it, those really long arms. He's really tall. And so I'd like to see him out there against those dangerous pro-style receivers that tend to punish the Utes as much as they can be punished. So that's my kind of guy that I'm watching, breakout guy.
I'm intrigued by the fact that we both, for our breakout guy, chose seniors.
Yeah. We haven't had a chance to see any of these guys because the defense has been so good and so loaded that – I mean, they just have been toiling away in anonymity despite – I mean, Josh Nurse is a 6'3", 200-pound quarterback, and he barely sees the field. He's a special teams guy because the depth has been so good. Now it's his chance. Now I want to see what he's got to do. What about question marks? Do you have any?
Personally, no.
Yeah, my question mark's an exclamation point. Like, the cornerbacks are so – freaking good, and they're all good, and it's just great, and I'm excited, and I have no questions or doubts about their ability to perform.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move on to the next position group. We're going to go to the linebackers with our new linebackers coach Colton Swan coming from Weber State, and a whole, like, as much as we've got some returners and whatnot, it is really a new linebacker core, because everyone's used to seeing Barton and Hanson.
And of course, as everybody listening to this will know, even more turmoil than we expected, because we had brought in Manny Bowen, this Penn State, I think, or somebody. High-level linebacker who was going to just kind of lock it down, sort of your free agent veteran pickup, right, when you have a little bit of an unsteady group. And he got a business opportunity and has left the team and retired from football, which it's really nice, by the way, to have it be a good story. Whenever it's, I'm done playing, I always expect it. But, they got arrested, or their family, something terrible happened, or, usually sad story. So it's cool that he's got an opportunity, a professional opportunity that he's excited enough about, that he wants to stop playing football. I think that's great for him, but it's not great for the Utes, as that was their biggest question mark. He was one of the biggest answers to that. So who you got? Who's your linebacker leader with a projected starting two of Devin Lloyd and Francis Bernard, neither of whom have, even played in every single game last year?
Well, I think it's Bernard. That's your experienced linebacker. He played well last year when he did get to play. This is his second year in the program. Your leader's Bernard. Your upper and comer has always been like the last
I haven't, year. I haven't shut up about Devin you've Lloyd been ta- for
exactly.
2 years.
Like, we've been talking about Devin Lloyd, and now he's the starter, right? And so Lloyd's going to have his opportunity.
And I think his ceiling is probably higher than Bowen's. I mean, for
agreed.
For, I wouldn't a have sophomore. Been. I wouldn't have been surprised if 4 or 5 games in he was taking starter reps. But Bowen was such an essential part of kind of the depth calculation of, well, somebody's going to get dinged up. Somebody's going to need to take a couple of series off. Who's the third guy that's going to come out there? And sometimes you're going to go in 3-backer packages, and who's going to be the third linebacker that comes out there in those packages? And that was the answer to the question that we lost. Yeah, I'm excited about Bernard. He had 4 tackles the first 6 games last year, and then 34 – no, first 8, and then 34 in the closing 6. So once he started to play, he was starting to pick up some tackles,
yep.
Looked pretty good out there. I think there was a big amount of getting into shape and kind of game shape and game speed that he needed to do. I mean, there's a big difference in level of competition, too, between the offenses he was up against as a BYU linebacker versus the kind of talent that he had to deal with as a Pac-12. Not the same as from high school to college, but a little bit of a difference, and I think he did have to catch up, and then there's a lot of scheme, and he had to catch up with that. But I'm excited for what he's got to bring. I think he looks really good out there, and I'm just – yeah, I think he's a leader, and I think he's going to be an extremely high-level performer, and I have very little doubt or uncertainty. And I love Devin Lloyd. He was, I think I've told this story before, but he was playing out of position in high school. They had him playing free safety because he was faster and taller and stronger and had better ball instincts than anybody on the team. But as a result, he was playing at like 165, 170 when he's a natural 200-plus pound kid. And now that he's been allowed to kind of fill into his natural role, he's just a monster. And he's I think we're gonna be like Manny Hu in a few weeks. That's my sincere hope. My concern, and I guess my question mark, would be who's third? Who's gonna be? There's some options, right? We've got Sione Himuli Lund, who was 4-star recruit at running back and linebacker out of high school. So he certainly got talent. We've got Andrew Mata'afa, who was a little bit less highly recruited, related to Hercules Mata'afa, who everybody will remember and wince when they think about him. So those two guys are kind of the two that I'm watching, but I'm not watching because I have doubts about them. I'm watching to see who's going to step up,
right?
Who's going to be that guy who needs to be out there.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Francis Bernard is the leader. I'm not worried about him at all. He's going to do fine. Devin Lloyd, based on the fact that I've heard multiple people talking about Devin Lloyd in his upcoming status and then the fact that he's now getting it now, like, I'm not worried about him. I mean, the other thing is I've heard people talk about questions of leadership, right? Manny Bowen was going to be the leader. Well, Francis Bernard's a senior. He's a leader. And these guys were led by Cody Barton and Chase Hansen last year, mm-hmm. and they learned from those guys too. I mean, you listed a sophomore in Sione Lund, and then Andrew Mata'afa, a redshirt freshman. And I don't know how big of an impact he'll be this year, but there's another redshirt freshman in Quinn Fabrizio who also saw the leadership of Chase Hansen and Cody Barton.
I'm so excited about Quinn in like 2 years.
We should see what happens, right? No, of course. Quinn. Mm-hmm. I don't think Quinn's a big player, but I'm saying the leadership value of Manny Bowen, absolutely, to me, isn't as necessary for these guys who saw Chase Hansen, saw Cody Barton, saw what you need to do to be a top-level linebacker.
Well, I think
and it, you have these guys already.
I think it misconstrues what a leader is, right? To say, well, a leader is the oldest guy on the team is kind of – well, he's going to be this senior experience, but he's the senior experience from – 2,500 miles away, who has no engagement in the system, who doesn't understand how things work. Like, that is, you know, specifically at, you know, Kyle Whittingham works,
right?
Who doesn't understand the media market, doesn't understand the rivalry game, who doesn't understand all that stuff. Francis Bernard, in all of those ways, is a better better fit to kind of step into the leadership role. And I think it's a little kind of reductive to say, well, who's the most experienced, who has the most tackles on the team, that's going to be the leader. It doesn't always work that way, you know. And I think that Francis Bernard would have been the natural leader anyway. For me, it's all about just he was a darn good linebacker. And I wanted to see him take some guys' heads off, and now I don't get to. So that's all I'm about with Bowen. But, yeah, I'm not worried about leadership there. And also because you listed off the three, you know, first-day NFL talents all over the field who are perfectly capable of pulling aside a linebacker and say, hey, here's what we need to do today. And it's not going to be, well, you're not in my position group. I don't need to listen to you. You're not my real dad. I mean, that's not going to happen, right? They're plenty powerful enough dad, huh? personalities. So I'm not worried about that at all. I'm glad you appreciated that.
All right. Well, all right. So I think we've talked enough about linebacker. Everyone's been pouring over the linebacker position in Twitter and everywhere else.
It's almost
so
too much, right?
It's been a little overkill.
It's a Kyle Whittingham coached football team. They're going to be good.
They're going to be just fine. Yeah. Just remember how much we questioned, like, Cody Barton at one point.
Yes. I want you to just go through the world
other players.
And think about all of the nasty, stupid things everybody was saying about Cody Barton for years and years and years. And then I want you to go to the Seattle Seahawks Twitter feed and see the camp standout that they talk about every single day because he is just so well prepared and knows how to play and so good.
Yep.
And that's Cody Barton. I mean,
yeah, it is totally.
It doesn't matter. You give him a scarecrow, and Kyle Whittingham will turn him into an all-league linebacker. And I'm just not worried about
it. Yeah. All right. So let's go talk about a fun position or the next position group, which is fun to talk about, which is our defensive line, who was by Athlon Sports selected as the number 2 best defensive line unit in college football behind Auburn.
They got robbed.
They're ahead of Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, all these programs who have
second. That's ridiculous.
So, nonetheless, who are you going to choose as the leader here? This is the question, right? It's one of two players. So, who's your leader going to be?
I'm going to say Fotu because I think Fotu embodies the sort of soul of the D-line in a way that Anai just doesn't quite do. I think Anai is probably a little bit more talented and is certainly going to be more productive because of the position that he plays over on the edge and being kind of the dominant pass rusher.
Right.
But Fotu has this sort of quality to him that this sort of walk softly, carry a really, really big stick that defines for me the Utah defensive line. That just sort of, we're just going to walk up there, we're going to put our hand in the dirt, and we're gonna beat you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way Fotu plays every down. And I think that by example, he will take that leadership mantle.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree with that. I mean, ultimately, you're not going to have a bad pick when you're picking between Lucky Fotu and Bradley and I. For me, I'm with you. I think it's the anchor of the defense has always been those interior linemen because they push through, and then our guys on the edge have crushed.
What makes the whole defense work and the Whittingham defense work is defensive tackles who need to be double teamed.
Yep.
And cornerbacks
who can hold the man.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if he has those two things, then the other guys are the ones who get to make plays because they get one-on-ones.
Yep.
And so Fotu's job is making two or even three people have to deal with him so that Anai and Tupai can make plays.
And they are going to have to deal with Fotu and Pennicini, and it is just not going to be – I do not envy any offensive line coach.
Oh, man. And Pennicini is just that other side of the classic Utah D-line where you say, who, but then you watch, and he's amazing. It doesn't matter that he's not quite big enough or, you know, doesn't look exactly the way you expect him to look, but he just takes dudes out, and he does what he needs to do, and he, you know, brings his lunch pail, and it's awesome to watch. And there's been so many of them, right? Tenny Palapoy, who's a San Diego Charger for years, and Kanape Eliapo on the Sugar Bowl team, and they were just beasts by inside themselves, rather than this kind of Lecky Fotu, you know, I'm Godzilla.
6'5", 330.
Yeah, like, look out. And that's wonderful, and it's really fun to see. But I love that other guy that right. tends to be on the side of, you know, Starlo Tulele or Loalo Tulele or Lecky Fotu, that's just intimidating because of the way he plays and not the way he looks. And then the other guy we need to talk about, and this is going to be my breakout star, is Max's Tupai. I mean, he is so good.
And I was looking at that and thinking, who's my breakout guy? And the obvious answer is Max Tupai.
Does it even count? But if you're one of the acknowledged top 10 defensive ends in the country, can you be a breakout star?
Well, can you be a breakout when the offensive line is already going to have to deal with three other guys that are NFL caliber?
It's just not fair.
Like, it's like Max Tupai, but is going to get the scraps of the offensive line and then throw them out and crush the quarterback. Like, he's literally going to be hand-fed plenty of plays just because they're going to be so focused on the rest of the defensive line.
He is in such a remarkable position because, yes, left tackle, your NFL or your best guy, you're going to stick him on the side of the line with a knife because you have to.
Yep.
And then you're going to say, okay, and then we're going to take these other four guys and we're going to double team Pennacini and we're going to double team Fotu. So what does that mean? You're going to put a running back on Bradley or on Max Tupai, who he put on 26 pounds in the offseason. Yeah. He is pushing, I think he's 276 right now, or 280 something. I mean, he is absolutely lethal at that position. He's perfectly built for it, for that strong side defensive end. And I think he's just going to make everybody's life a living nightmare. And it's going to be really, really fun to watch because there's no answers to those four guys up in front.
Yeah, there isn't. And that's the thing is, like, as we were talking and we're like, all right, so what's the biggest question mark? This is where I respond with your exclamation point from earlier. Like, there isn't one. I don't have a question mark about this defensive line. This defensive line is going to literally eat the other offensive line for dinner.
I'm curious about the third DT. Right. This is a grueling position, and it's important to have a third guy or a fifth guy on the line that you're going to kind of roll in to those interior, you know, third down when, you know, after it's been a long drive or something, and you need somebody needs a gasser. It's an interesting question, and one that I don't really have an answer to. I don't know. I don't really have a good answer to it, but I'm curious to see who's going to do it, who's going to kind of break out and be that third guy. But so that would be my question, would be what are we gonna see there? But I just don't think we're gonna see very many other players play on the defensive line because those guys are all four of them just absolute top shelf, and it's gonna be in third and fourth quarters of you know, big wins that we're going to be seeing what these other guys are like. And they're great players. I mean, Mika Tafua is going to be a really yep. good defensive end. There's so many players to be excited about, but I just don't think we're going to get to see a lot of them in the same way that we talk about, well, who are these cornerbacks that feel new, even though they're seniors, because everybody's been so good? Or these linebackers who have been with the team 2 or 3 years but didn't get on the field because they had Chase Hansen and Cody Barton ahead of them. And but I'm interested to see who that third tackle will be.
Yeah, no, I it'll be interesting to see, but I don't think it's not going to be a step down. And the one thing I would hope that this team does is rotate to where maybe we're not seeing all four of those guys all the time, but one's rotating out and giving more reps to our upcoming guys like Amika Tafua, who's a sophomore, or even some of the red shirts we have on the team. There's a whole list of them who could use some playing experience to build that line. I mean, when you've got a line that's got three seniors and a junior on it, that's a lot of turnover come next season. I would like, as much as I obviously win games, and you do what you have to win games this year, but I would also like to see them develop the talent And I'm not saying I doubt that they're going to. I'm just saying I want them to.
They have the chance. And if we're as good as we expect them to be, we should be ahead enough that we don't have to worry about it. So I'm in the same boat. I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah. So I mean, look, the defense is going to be freaking crazy. Good luck to the offenses out there trying to attack this defense, because I don't see a lot of holes in it. And
it's a puzzle with no solution. You just have to do what you do and hope your guys beat their guys, and they probably won't, and you just have to live with that.
Yeah. Totally. All right. Well, next week we're going to go over the offense and hit some special teams as well, throw them in a combo pack. And we're working on some preseason awards to give on our own spin on the awards shows, preseason watch lists. And we'll have that for you guys coming soon. Until next time, go Utes.
Go Utes.
Thanks for listening to Ute Talk, brought to you by the Torn by Sports and Blog Talk Radio Networks. Find us on Twitter @UteTalkPodcast or email @UteTalk@gmail.com.